Merlin Tabor of Champaign and Delbert Augsburger of Flanagan have a lot in common. Now in their 80s, they both grew up on Midwestern farms. Tabor near Cedar Rapids in Iowa and Augsburger in central Illinois. They were both raised in historic peace churches that discouraged military service, Tabor as a Quaker and Augsburger as a Mennonite. And in 1944, they were both drafted. Merlin Tabor had already filed for conscientious objector status.
I decided that the argument against killing other human beings was a very sound argument logically. And while I was not sure that I could be nonviolent in every situation, I thought, I'm opposed to taking up arms. So I asked for CO status.
And that's how Tabor, upon being drafted, came to join the civilian public service. About 12,000 conscientious objectors performed non-military service in the CPS during World War II. But the public at large didn't have much respect for them. And Tabor knew that if he left the CPS camp for a weekend visit to the nearest town, he couldn't expect a warm welcome.
A very cold. We didn't try to go there too often. I was given a very strange haircut once because the barber found out I was at the CPS camp, so he butchered up my haircut as a means of supporting the war.
That incident happened in North Dakota, where Tabor's duties included building roads and irrigation ditches. Later, he helped fight forest fires in Southern California, was infected with jaundice as part of a medical experiment in Philadelphia, and finally worked as an attendant at Philadelphia's infamous Byberry Mental Hospital.
I was assigned to the violent building. This had 150 or 200 men, each of whom usually had attacked attendants or other patients repeatedly or who had escaped repeatedly.
Tabor says the patients spent most of their time in a huge day room with nothing to do.
And there were two of us young, naive CO people at one end of the room, and we put a row of benches across the room and told the men they couldn't come across the benches. And we stood there and watched what was happening. And then we would go, one of us would go, or two if needed, to break up fights, which broke out all day long.
Tabor says the poor conditions at Byberry left such an impression on him that he decided he wanted to work for better treatment of the mentally ill. This led to an academic career in the field of social work, including a quarter century at the University of Illinois' School of Social Work. He's now a professor emeritus. Delbert Augsburger says quite a few of his friends became conscientious objectors like Merlin Tabor, but while doing so himself would have been in keeping with his Mennonite upbringing, he says his father never pressed the matter. When his draft notice arrived, Delbert Augsburger signed up with the Army Air Forces. He says he found support for his decision in the Gospels, where the Pharisees asked Jesus whether they should pay tribute to Caesar.
He looked at the coin, and the coin must be something like the coin we have now, like we have God We Trust on the one side and the picture of the present. And he showed the picture, and he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and the things to God the things that are God," and turn the other side of the coin. So I thought that right there was a commandment, you know, that whatever the government asked you to do, that was a thing you should do.
Factors influencing Delbert's decision included his five brothers, most of whom also chose military service when they were drafted. Plus, the Air Force gave Delbert a chance to fulfill a boyhood dream of becoming an aviator. Still, upon arriving at Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis, he was confronted by a grim reminder of the duty ahead.
When I went through the first door, the big sign on the door said, "Kill or be killed." You know, and that kind of gives you a jolt right there, because, you know, you never think about killing or anything like that. But this was the mindset that, you know, that you had to have, kind of, that when you go into the service, that's what they wanted you to be, you know. It was serious business. That's the only time we realized how serious what you was getting into.
Augsburger was sent to an air base at Basingbourne, England. From there, Sergeant Augsburger flew 23 bombing missions over Europe as a crew member on a B-17 Flying Fortress. On bombing missions, he spent hours curled inside a ball turret, a compartment on the plane's underbelly that left no room for a parachute. Augsburger's job was to shoot at attacking planes, but he says it never actually came to that.
But a couple times I was ready to, And in fact, I was there late enough in the war that I seen the first jet that Sherman set up. He come up into our formation, and nobody knew what it was. until we read later on that they had these fighters, but he never fired. Well, we didn't have a chance to fire at him anyhow.
While Augsburger never fired a shot in combat, he did participate in the dropping of bombs on German targets, and sometimes he worried about unintended civilian casualties.
I mean, in fact, it bothered the officers, briefing officers that morning, because this was towards the end of the war, and the civilians were trying to get out of Berlin, and they actually told us there would be a lot of casualties, civilian casualties, of bombing that railroad yard and all the civilians. And I don't know how many thousands was killed. I know about it and get all worked up about it, but this is something that happens in war.
Augsburger's combat duty ended with a close call. On his 23rd mission, two of his plane's four engines were shot out, and they had to limp back to the airbase. Soon after that, the war in Europe was over, and Augsburger returned to central Illinois. He went back to civilian work, eventually opening up his own heating and air conditioning business, and he married his high school sweetheart, Betty Jo. But the Mennonite Church had not forgotten Delbert's decision to defy their teachings against military service.
But I think it was just before we got married, the minister come around and have a paper to sign to make it right with the congregation so you could get back into full membership. Well, I said, you know, at the time, I did agree that I did go against the teaching of the church, but not because I thought it was wrong, you know. I signed it. My wife never liked it too good that I did sign that. But I never went back to the church after that. I joined the Methodist Church.
60 years after World War II, Delbert Augsburger and Merlin Tabor continue to hold different views about war. Augsburger believes that the U.S. must use its military strength to ensure peace. He says that's especially true since the attacks of September 11th.
Because so many more people are against us, and we don't know how to fight them, because I really think our future generations are going to be fighting the same war that we are now.
Merlin Tabor says he was pretty naive when he filed for conscientious objector status more than 60 years ago. But he did it again during the Korean War, and his opposition continues today when it comes to the war in Iraq.
But I have to say, it's partly on religious grounds, and it's partly on the grounds that human life is sacred, but it's also on the grounds that war is self-defeating and violence is always self-defeating.
But Tabor says he remains undecided about how deep his pacifism really goes. In college, not long after the war, he was shown pictures of the death camps for the first time, and he wondered if he should have been fighting the Nazis after all. I'm Jim Meadows. AM 580 News.